It's just that little built-in mic.
They're becoming famous for their wands, their universal wands that they make.
Oh, a universal.
They can control a bunch of different electronic appliances, you know.
Right.
VCRs and, you know, radio, TV, DVD, etc.
I hope they never stop making the tape recorders. So to begin with, I'd like to start the beginning, as they say, or even before the beginning, and talk a little bit about your family context, you know, in which you arrived in Buffalo, New York, and you're born in 1927.
Right.
And I know that your parents, I believe your parents were Charles and Marie Finnegan.
Right.
So I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about your parents to begin with.
My father was a service engineer with New York Telephone Company, and he had grown up in Utica, New York. Our family had actually come to the great-grandfather had come to the U.S. from Ireland in 1850, around during the potato famine, and had settled in New York State, upper New York State.
Right.
And then my grandfather had worked for New York Central Railroad, which was the main railroad at that time. And he was an engineer for the railroad, and raised his family first in Utica and then moved to Buffalo, where my father grew up. And he worked for New York Telephone Company his whole life. My mother died when I was about 8 years old, and I had six brothers and sisters, one sister and five brothers. And so my dad had quite a load after that point, and I don't remember as much about my mother as probably I would have had she lived longer. But so my dad brought us up in a suburb of Buffalo called Snyder, New York. And we went to Catholic grade school and on to a public high school. And I was trying to think, is there anything? My dad was a very driven, I'd say, you know, hard-driving person who really required a lot of us. He was, at times, we thought, a real disciplinarian, as many parents were during that period, but was always pushing us to do better things than he had been able to do, and was interested in seeing us go to college, and we had to find our own way to do that because he had very limited means, and especially with a family of seven.
Now, did he get his technical training from the telephone company then?
Yeah, he did.
Right.
He had been in various jobs with them, and he basically learned on the job. And so his job was, you know, taking care of a bunch of customers, that, you know, providing the service, seeing that they got the service, and maybe at one time he did service himself, but he usually was the person that they would contact in big companies like Bell Aircraft and Curtis Wright. He had various large accounts like that. That he didn't share too much of that with us. And I guess when he got home, he had enough to worry about. Anyway,
so
he was a hard. He really instilled in all of us, you know, that he wanted us to really do well and to get a good education and you know, and to work hard. And so we grew up mostly without housekeepers, doing the housework ourselves with his direction.
did he remarry or?
No, he didn't.
Wow.
With seven kids, that was not an easy thing, but for whatever reason, I don't know all his reasons, but he didn't.
But he raised all of you.
Right.
Wow.
And so we really he was father and had to be father and mother.
And that would, I would imagine that would be pretty uncommon for the time of a male head of household also, you know, having that responsibility of
it was.
Raising the children.
And he was pretty unselfish, and I would just say, it's something I don't think I could do.
Mm.
You know, it would not be very easy.
No.
And I think he might have had a few prospects, but when they saw all of us, they said, forget it.
Did he have, were his interests also in the technological or in science at all beyond, you know, work? Did he read in those areas, or
he was quite good. He had a shop in the basement,
mm-hmm.
and he could really make anything. And we have lamps in this house and various things that he made that are quite beautiful. And he, that was his hobby, and he was really good at it.
Did he share that with you and your brothers?
I'd say somewhat.
Right.
Yeah. I think he showed us what he was doing, and we could watch him while he's making lamps or whatever. But I don't think any of us really took to that and to the degree that he did.
Right.
And so it was, and with seven children, it was not easy to. Let's say, I think very often he was looking to get a little relief from his job and from his responsibilities when he's working in the shop. But he worked in his shop a lot, and he had to take care of the house and all
right.
that. Right. Because there wasn't a period when he had a lot of help.
Yeah. Maybe we could take just a moment to talk about your siblings, and I'd like to pounce on this now because I know from other interviews I've done, we often lose the thread of the interviewee's siblings and their stories. So I wonder if we could just talk about the life course of your brothers and sister.
Yeah.
Poor sister.
I was third of seven, and two older brothers, and then there was one younger brother, my sister, and then two younger brothers, who were the two youngest. And we had a close relationship, all of us. You know, we lived in the suburbs of Buffalo, and we had a large piece of land around us that we didn't own, but wasn't used.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to build baseball diamonds, and we had a football field, and we played a lot of sports together. And I would just say, and some of us, there were three of us in a row, a brother just older than me and younger than me,
mm-hmm.
Jerry and Denny, who were very close. We did everything together and were very protective of each other. Our older brother was sort of, Jim was he was assigned to very often to be the caretaker in my dad's
right.
absence, you know, to look after us. And so that sort of set him a little bit apart. So we were maybe a year and a half apart on average. And
mm-hmm.
so we were pretty close in age. We all went to the same Catholic grade school. And with the exception of my oldest brother, all went to the same high school, which was quite a good high school called Amherst Central High School in Snyder, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I would say, a very outstanding high school, is how I would term it.
Was that a Catholic high school?
No, it was a public school.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in fact, my oldest brother went to the seminary. He went into a seminary they called Little Seminary, which was maybe 4 miles from our house. And this priest, who was our parish priest, wanted me to go there. And I didn't want to go there. And I just said, and he wanted to know why. And I said, well, I'm going to go to the Naval Academy. And this was like in the sixth or seventh grade. And he said, he didn't think much of that idea. But he tried to force my dad make me go there, and my dad told him that he wouldn't do that. And he really, it was my decision, and he didn't think the priest should be interfering with it. My oldest brother, Jim, when he got, he actually wound up in the public school, and he went into the Air Force, became an Air Force pilot, spent his career in the Air Force, and after the war, stayed on and to get in his 20 years, and retired as a major in the Air Force. And he was, he had many, many hours of flight time, and I'd say he had a good career as a flying safety officer the last part of his career in the Air Force. And this was like in 43, I think, that he went in, 42 or 43, went in, and so the war was on.
Right.
And we were all facing the prospect that we were probably going to either get drafted or have to find something.
Yeah.
And my second brother, Jerry, who was closest to me for many years, he went in the Navy in the V-5 and V-12 program. They called it. It was a college program that you went through college and then became a naval officer.
Okay.
And it took probably 3 years on the average to get through. But they were programs that's also known as the Holloway program, which Admiral Holloway was the superintendent of the Naval Academy when I was there. And he was the one who had set it up, which was maybe one of the really, you know, good ideas that somebody had, because a lot of people got to go to college that might not have, like some of us. And Jerry went into mechanical engineering, wound up graduating from Berkeley, Cal Berkeley.
Did he go on the GI Bill then after the...
No, he stayed in as an ensign and then a JG, I think, and stayed in 3 years after he finished.
Okay.
And by the time he finished, the war was coming to a close. I think it was 45.
Okay.
Or 46, maybe.
Okay.
And so he spent, I think, required 3 years on a ship, and then he came out and went back to graduate school, and I think also at Berkeley, and wound up being the person who influenced the whole, most of the family to ultimately come to this area. Because he went to work for a company called, it was a new company at that time, Owens Corning Fiberglass.
Oh, sure.
And he was one of the original, they brought in a bunch of young people whom they trained for maybe 9 months in Newark, Ohio, and then sent them to various locations. But the plant, there was a plant here in Santa Clara.
Oh, wow.
And so he came out to work there and still lives a few miles from there. And so he influenced most of the rest of us into first seeing California and then Northern California and then ultimately coming here.
Oh, wow. And including your father? Or?
Yeah, my father, when he retired, came out here.
Oh, wow.
And lived in San Jose until he died. And several other brothers, the brother just younger than me, Denny, Dennis, he came out here, he went in the service after I did, and he was in the Air Force, and he was working in computers, which was IBM punch cards at that time,
right.
And ran a big center in Honolulu, an Air Force, at Hickam Air Force Base, wound up working for a company doing that, a company called Sunsuite, while he was going to San Jose State on the GI Bill. And then he was asked to go to Stanford to take over, basically run their computer facility, which was quite a small affair at that time. But he did that while he was working on his bachelor's degree in business at Stanford. And he graduated from Stanford and spent a large part of his career at SRI.
Oh.
And he became the general manager of SRI, vice president, general manager, the operations manager for maybe 4 years.
So what was he in charge of in that role, that overall administration?
Yeah, he actually started out doing data processing. He was working in a data processing group, and they had, that was sort of their expertise in the early days, and they were doing a project for Bank of America, and it was to computerize, you know, the whole process of, you know, recording checks, reading them, and it was, I think it was called Project Irma, and SRI had several divisions working on, including the part of SRI I ultimately worked for, and they built a system that that could, you know, process all the checks and ultimately computerize the Bank of America's whole system, and Denny worked on that project for several years, and I think he was more on the management information systems end of it, and he became head of MIS in the, I think they probably call it the Management Systems Division of SRI, then ultimately became general manager of the whole institute.
Of the whole operation.
Yeah, he and another fellow who was an engineer were co-managers, and I think for 4 years they did that job. He did, he wound up doing that same task of computerizing and management information systems for various companies, including SAS and ultimately the whole, you know, empire of Wallenberg, who's the person in Sweden. He was the richest person, one of the richest people in the world.
Right.
Wallenberg, Mark, and their various members, Carl, Mark, and so on. And Denny worked for them. He had a whole group from SRI, maybe 30 people, that worked in Sweden, and he was commuting back and forth. And he did very, very well. And wound up, when he left the institute after 20-something years, he continued to do that job until a couple years ago. He basically commuted to Sweden once a month for 20-something years. And so, and he was, and there were various, many parts of this empire, and they were basically going to SRI for the latest technology in, you know, in the computer area, management systems area, and I would say, I think he ultimately became a pretty much a top level management consultant, I guess.
Right.
He could bring people in that had even more specialized than he was.
And this was systems just for their, to coordinate this diversified sort of financial.
Yeah, and some of them, SRI did a lot of work that ultimately wound up as the Sabre system for American Airlines.
Oh.
And whether that, how much that they're credited with, I don't know, but they actually did for SAS a similar system for reservation, airline reservations and all that. And so a lot of it started out with that and then grew and was, you know, expanded into other areas of Wallenberg's businesses. And he owned half of SAS, and I think he probably owned half of Sweden, if the truth is known. Anyway, that's Denny, and he's living in Oregon now. He moved up there. And Kathleen, my only sister, she was trained to teach in as a teacher at Buffalo State Teachers College, and she worked in various jobs, and I would just say that she was not technical in the things that she's doing, but she wound up working for companies such as Macy's. I think she worked maybe 15 or 20 years in Sacramento, and she's currently retired over there, and she's lived in this area for a while, but I think she likes it better over there. It's a quieter place.
Right.
She was here for a while, but not for a long time. My brother John was next in line, second youngest, and he moved to this area to go to San Jose State. Was also influenced by my brother Jerry, and then at that time Denny, and he wound up working at Lockheed in their management systems group, building. I think became pretty good in building systems for hospitals, and there was a local hospital called El Camino that worked with Lockheed's management with their computer systems group, and sort of automating all the hospital functions.
And wow!
They started very early doing this, and Lockheed, I think, had a pretty good business going in there, and I think ultimately spun it off to somebody else. And I'm not sure, Technicon or somebody bought it, and I can't tell you where it is right now. But John spent most of his career doing that, and at Lockheed, and he retired from there a couple of years back. Youngest brother Paul, he went through the same schools as did all the others in Snyder, New York, and he came out here to go to San Jose State as well, and he wound up following more in Denny's footsteps in terms of his interests and in terms of his specialty in school. He worked at Stanford Research Institute for maybe 4 years in the finance part of SRI. He left there to found several companies in this area that were, the principal one was called Voicemail International. And they were doing, they're basically doing answering services, you know, such as you use today. Very early that he started in this, and there were a lot of companies that came along and really sort of took over that business.
Automated voicemail sort of systems.
Yeah, and you know, like for companies.
Sure.
And they were, there's still a voicemail company called Voicemail, and they still, I think, provide, you know, answering services, but it's splintered. And I think ultimately the company that he had was bought by an Italian company. And then there's parts of it, like in Portland, one of the members of our family runs that one, and it's still running as an independent company now. But so Paul still has a consulting company in this area of voicemail, and still pretty active in this. He really had a lot of original ideas, and I would just say if he had gotten good business help at the time, he would have, I think his company would have been a company that really made it.
Right.
But he was not, he didn't try to, I would say, or what for whatever reason, didn't succeed in making it a strong going company. And so they were more, an idea company, and other people came along and took those ideas and ran with them.
Proof that such a business was possible.
Right. Yeah. And so he still has a lot of ideas and is very creative in that regard.
Well, that's a pretty, that strikes me as a pretty remarkable similarity between your brothers, amongst all of your brothers, of coming out to the Bay Area, you know, getting involved with pretty forward-looking technological areas, and also I guess with the exception, well, maybe with the exception of the your brother, who's the career Air Force officer.
Right.
Although there's a lot of technology, you know, uh-huh. the Air Force and the technology,
right.
you know, in this period is huge.
Yeah.
All getting involved with in commercial contexts of technology. Would you attribute that? How would you explain that with reference to growing up together in Snyder and the schools you went to, or is it more being here in this location at that time? I mean, how do you? I just want to know what you thought about that.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with being in this area,
right?
Where there's a lot of entrepreneurism, and perhaps having other members of the family who are in various technical, endeavors,
right?
I would say we all had the same basic training at, parochial school, undergrad, through eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Amherst Central High School, which was a pretty broad-based background. If you wanted to go into engineering or if you wanted to go into whatever business, it probably prepared you as a with the right fundamentals. And I think that I'm probably the most technical in terms of interests of all of brothers in going on to into engineering,
right.
undergraduate, etc. But I think, like Denny, with business background, worked in a very highly technical organization at SRI and ultimately headed all of the technical aspects of it. And so he grasped, he grasped all the aspects of the institute, business and technical. But I don't know, David, the answer, as to the reason, for gravitating in that direction.
Yeah.
This area has a lot of effect, I think, in that regard.
Right, models of that sort of career in the area, and then even amongst the group, the brothers who are leading or showing the possibilities. Well, maybe we could go back for a minute to Snyder and just talk about, we talked a little bit about the sort of field where your siblings and yourself had free reign and the sports, but just to talk a little bit more about Snyder as a community, growing up there in the 30s, any thoughts you had about growing up there?
There was a lot of snow. When you're in Buffalo, you get used to that. But I would just say, we grew up, more or less with our nose to the grindstone in school, and where, the requirements were really rigorous, and I would say that at home as well, we had lots of responsibility because of the fact that we didn't have a mother there, and we were the ones doing, by necessity, doing a lot of the work, even preparing meals and housework and stuff, and so there wasn't a lot of time to spend even on sports, to go out for high school team or whatever, but it was a nice community, and it was a very nice suburb, and so. It was a fairly well-to-do suburb where most of the people were from good families and were intending to go to college and it's sort of, you know, an all-American, you know, it just had a good, hardcore American community aspect to it. And it it's sort of, you know, like you often think of the Midwestern, some of the Midwestern places as being the salt of the earth, the
right.
people that come from there similarly. And I would say that's true with Snyder, that people were just good Americans, you know, patriotic, and in the era we were in with World War II coming on,
mm-hmm.
and then happening during our time there, people were pretty serious, and ourselves included, you know, about you know, wanting to become part of the, you know, the military, or the, you know, part of the war effort, and I think that had a big bearing on our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I was in the period that I was in high school, we were in the war at the
right.
whole time.
Right.
And similarly for several of my brothers, three or four of them. And so we're in a, you know, in an environment that